Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge.
Slow the testing down.
Remove him from office.
No justice, no peace.
Cast a vote that will make you proud.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Will you shut up, man? Listen.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Sup Podcast. I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And if you're just tuning in, the Betches Sup Podcast is your daily rundown of all the crazy shit happening in the news, brought to you by your two funniest friends,
which is us.
How are you doing, Brian?
Good, good. I was just looking at, because Sammy Sage is such a good, like, quick name, and I realize I always try and say my name so fast because it's so many syllables. I'm Sammy Sage, I'm like, I'm Brian Russell.
I think you have, like, you have a strong name because even though it is many, you know, it has a ring.
Yeah, exactly. How was your weekend?
It was lovely. I went to vote yesterday afternoon. Nice. I have done it and I feel like a strong sense of relief. It's hard to believe that like after we've been talking about this fucking asshole for 4 years all day. We've been stressed about it. We've been texting about it. We've been like, it's hard to believe that all of that culminated in me just like standing in line for an hour and a half and and then filling in a bubble. But like as I was doing it, I was like, fuck, yes. Joseph R. Biden. Yeah.
Was it cathartic? Did you feel some catharsis?
I did. I did feel some catharsis. What are you planning? What's your vote plan?
I'm going to vote early. I'm going to wake up super early on Friday morning because I know that like there was long lines and I think everyone's just very excited to vote. Mm-hmm. Like how long did you wait in line?
About like an hour 15, an hour and a half. I think the whole thing took about an hour and a half, including the voting part. But I met a SUP fan on the line. She was listening to the SUP from Friday as she's like, hi, are you Sammy? And she was listening to the SUP.
Whoa.
And I was just like, this is amazing. Like we're bringing the voters to the polls quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to her. Handle is Ariana Zacronde.
I was listening to an NPR politics podcast episode where the guy was saying how it's like when people get excited for like the midnight showing of Star Wars or Harry Potter or whatever big thing and you try and get in line really quickly and really long and like so everyone you can't get a ticket and then as the days go by you can get a ticket and you don't have to wait in a line. So I was just like, okay, maybe if I go a little later I can just be in and out of there. So I will keep everyone updated abreast.
I think you're right about that. I also think secretly, I think most people think, oh, if I go first thing in the morning, no one will be there. I actually think everybody goes first thing in the morning. And I think most people don't go like an hour before the polls are going to close because if you do get in line, like I got in line at like 3:15, 3:30, like something like that. And the polls were closing at 4:00. And they were like, if you get in line now before 4:00, you will definitely get to vote. And the line was like, they said this was the shortest it had been. Also, like, I highly recommend bringing a friend or like a companion of some sort and then have them go get some to-go drinks from a nearby establishment, which is what we did. And like, I'm on the line and I'm like, oh, I'm like a little tipsy.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, what I was also thinking is that it's the first day. These poll workers are also figuring out what the F they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, because I remember I early voted for the primary. I mean, I didn't early vote for the primaries, but I was very early on primary day. Like I was there at like 6:30, like, and they were like, oh, I have to like put up my dividers and my folders. You know what I mean? They're like, where's that paper? You know,
I will say it's not like the most efficient process I could imagine. Like there's a little bit of like crisscrossing, like you're walking over here to give your name and then you're printing your ballot and then you're going over here to fill it out and then you're going over here to like feed it into the machine. So I imagine there has to be a better way, but at least we know that there are hand-marked paper ballots, like, as a backup in the machines, yeah, which is critical. Mm-hmm. I really filled that bubble in.
I was like, haven't been perfect.
So, yeah, yeah. I haven't been so excited to fill out a Scantron since, like, yeah, ever. Never.
Oh, I've been practicing my coloring all quarantine, so I'm really good at singing the lines now.
They also gave you a pen, and the pen is part stylus. And, ooh, like, this is a, I mean, that's at least in New York City, but look at this pen.
I did get one of those. I forgot about that, because then you don't have to touch anything.
Exactly. It's safety and a souvenir, mm-hmm, altogether.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
All right, should we get into the news?
Yes.
Okay, so today we have some bad news. Surprise. Today, the Senate is voting to confirm President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett. This comes 8 days before the election that he is widely believed to lose. And obviously, this was not without some drama from the Mercollins constituency in the Senate, because yesterday there was a procedural vote to move the nomination forward so that there could even be, like, an official vote on it. Every Democrat plus Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski voted to stop the nomination. That is what it looks like when they stand by their values. However, Murkowski said she will still vote in the new vote to confirm Barrett, because she doesn't want to hold the flawed process against her. And then Collins has vowed to vote against the confirmation. I can't imagine that has anything to do with the extent to which Sarah Gideon is ahead in Maine.
I mean, what do you think? These are two completely political moves. There's no values behind either of them. We know that Collins has vowed to vote against the confirmation because she saw what happened after she voted to confirm Brett Kavanaugh, and it basically put, like, the last nail in her coffin in this primary. And, you know, she knows that I'm sure Mitch McConnell was like, yeah, do that, because he knows that they're going to be able to confirm her with or without Susan Collins' vote at this point.
Do you think this is going to help her? Like,
no, I think it's too late. It's cooked.
Too little, too late. Like, it's very much like, we've seen your antics for the past 4+ years. Let's just say 4. We've seen your antics. We know how you, like, pretend to, like, agonize over every vote. Like, I just don't think that, like, her making this vote that will not actually change anything is going to, like, win her back anybody.
Also, it's like with Lisa Murkowski, it's like, you know, don't you realize, don't you see what just happened to your colleague? Your colleague is probably about to lose her job because of what you are about to do. And the fact that you are trying to, and had tried to save face, it's almost worse that she said she wasn't going to vote, like, on, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, people were like, what's Murkowski going to do? And she's like, I will not vote to confirm whoever, like, I think the next president should do it. And then she's like, and then to have this, like, moral thing where she's like, well, I didn't vote to advance it. It's like, bitch, we know what you're doing. Like, we're not stupid. Like, you think we're stupid? Like,
well, we who are watching it up close, like, see, mm-hmm, what she's doing. But I think that, like, I don't even see how she gets the benefit of that action, because most people have no clue that there's a procedural vote before the actual, yeah, vote. Most people don't care. No one considers that to be taking a stand, because ultimately she's still going to get confirmed. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, like, there is a little bit of this is like a Hail Mary for the Republicans. It's a very effective Hail Mary. And we'll play a clip of Mitch McConnell kind of speaking about that. But this is like the last ditch effort. This is like their last play for minority rule, because Mitch McConnell, I think, believes that they're not going to win. And they might lose this, and they might lose the Senate as well. So we'll see. Should we play that clip of McConnell, mm-hmm, talking about his last dying grip on minority rule?
Something to really be proud of and to feel good about. We made an important contribution to the future of this country. A lot of what we've done over the last 4 years will be undone sooner or later by the next election. They won't be able to do much about this for a long time to come.
It sort of sounded like he predicted that they were going to lose.
That does sound exactly like what he said. He's just like, exactly. He's like, we got to get this woman in. We will get her in. As they're sort of like, it's almost like a fail safe because he knows that that expanding the court is going to cost the Democrats a lot of political will and political capital that they're not going to then be able to use for something like Medicare for All or like, I don't know, whatever it is the Green New Deal. So he knows that like he's adding a huge, very, very difficult battle to the Democratic plate, or as he would call it, the Democrat plate.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just eager to see what happens at this point. I'm very anxious about the election. I'm just like want to know. I'm like over not knowing what's going to happen.
Well, the positive thing that I'm seeing is that like I feel like every day I see a new headline about which group is going to swing the election Biden's way. One day it's millennials, one day it's seniors, one day it's Texans. Like and it just seems like there's so many options that Biden has to pick up votes, whereas Trump doesn't have as many options. He just kind of has like the people who would go to his rallies still amidst a pandemic. Like that's not a huge group of people. And then he has the Russians, but Putin also said yesterday something that he doesn't think that Hunter Biden did anything wrong, which was just like another piece.
Well, and also there like isn't Facebook supposed to be stopping political ads like the week before the election? And was it the week or the day? I don't remember.
I'm not sure exactly, but they did say that they have some like fail safes. That are.
And I think people are more attuned to propaganda, mostly. Hopefully.
Yeah. Obviously, Democrats are pretty mad about this victory because it is giving conservatives a 6-3 majority on the court that could impact issues from Affordable Care Act to disputes over the 2020 election. We don't know how the election will play out. Hopefully it won't need to go to the courts, but the Supreme Court is supposed to bring up a case about the Affordable Care Act on November 10th. So that is pretty soon. Democrats have basically been using their time this morning. They tried to kind of like stage a protest on the Senate floor. Let's listen to Senator Elizabeth Warren because we deserve a treat.
The Senate has no business taking up a vote on a Supreme Court justice who has already committed to take away health care from millions of people and to take away Roe versus Wade and its protection from millions of women. We may not have the votes to stop them, but that does not change the fact that what the Senate Republicans are doing is wrong. We will continue to fight it. We will fight it now in the Senate, and we will fight it come Election Day, November 3rd.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's all they can do at this point. They don't have the votes to stop it, but maybe we'll have a Senate Majority Leader Elizabeth Warren come January.
Lovely. Right, that would be lovely. I mean, they definitely are going to need to start talking about court expansion. Although maybe I shouldn't even say this before the election. Although we're all liberals here, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, Biden had a good answer to that on 60 Minutes about how he would get like a nonpartisan coalition of people who understand the law and the judicial system to come up with recommendations on how to have a more fair and balanced court.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
So, moving to coronavirus, over the weekend, there was yet another White House COVID outbreak as the U.S. hit its highest 7-day case average since the pandemic began. So more than 225,000 Americans have now died from the virus. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows outright said yesterday, we are not going to control the pandemic.
Pandemic,
which is like a really great, you know, closing argument for the Trump campaign. It's like, oh, we're just not going to do anything about it. Well, it's like Trump at the debate saying we are living with it. We are learning to live with it. Meanwhile, we are having the highest number of cases ever since we've had the pandemic. In Utah right now, they are rationing care. The hospitals and ICUs are full. I actually know like multiple people who have been diagnosed or been sick who have died in the past week from coronavirus, like friends of like wow. Friends of like friends' fathers too.
Wow. You know, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's
not going away. It's not under
control.
What's
crazy is that like, regardless of if Biden wins, like we know that right now the pandemic is like at its height. And we know that definitely for the next 3 months, because that's who is technically president, there will be nothing done about it. So mm-hmm. just think about all the people who are going to like die or experience lifelong health effects simply because of the next 3 months, because they're just like too lazy to do anything. And yeah. like, tell me how, when the chief of staff goes on TV and makes that statement, that they're not like accountable for the next 3 months in terms of like negligent homicide.
Mm-hmm.
Like how is that not their fault when they're telling you we are not doing anything about it?
Yeah. And you know, it's that. And it's also, it's like, I have friends and family members who don't take things as seriously because of these people. Like I want to be able to spend like the holidays, like Thanksgiving and Christmas with my family. But because of these people not taking it seriously, people are not taking it seriously. They are not isolating for 2 weeks before going somewhere. Like if it was up to me, I would be like, I will have dinner with you. I will celebrate Christmas with you, but we have to be isolating for 2 weeks leading up to it. But that is not possible with these people spreading this disinformation.
Right. The truth is like, it does drive a wedge between families, which, you know, is like, don't make me go into the psychology of Trump loving the idea of separating families at any cost. Like even the families not at the border are still separated because like, we can't be together. Like I feel that way too. Like I have family members who I'm like, no, I'm not going to see you because you're not careful and I will not be indoors mm-hmm. with you certainly. And don't touch me. And yeah. like, it's like, I'm sorry that you can't be trusted because I saw you attend an indoor wedding. Like, and you get tested after, and you like, mm-hmm. it's just, and if you're willing to attend an indoor wedding, like what aren't you willing to do?
Yeah.
Like what will you say no to?
Yeah, I know. So they are, you know, that's basically their closing message on the election. It's not happening. The news won't stop talking about it. Instead, Mark Meadows said the administration would focus on vaccines and treatments. More on this. Dr. Fauci also said this weekend that while a vaccine could be on its way to distribution by the end of the year, most people won't receive it until deep into next year. Tens of thousands of people will still die while we wait for the vaccinations. I heard someone, a scientist, say that we'll probably be wearing masks into 2022, even with vaccines.
Right, I could see it.
And meanwhile, at least 5 of Vice President Mike Pence's aides have tested positive for COVID-19. This includes his chief of staff and personal body man, both of whom accompany him throughout the day. And as of right now, it appears Pence will not observe CDC guidelines to self-isolate, of course, because why would he? You know, they don't take anything, don't do anything responsibly. And the White House has tried to urge the medical team to keep the team's diagnoses private. Because, you know, that's not the closing message that they want. They wanted to pretend it's not happening, not that our vice president may have it and is refusing to isolate.
Well, they tested negative this morning, the Pences. So we'll see. Like, he has, I don't know, a few days.
Well, it's
if, like, on Monday, or I don't know, you like find out Pence has COVID.
I mean, I don't, I think that they would do everything and all that they could to say that it's not happening. He doesn't have it.
Unless it's like very apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just close this out with like a little bit more of the election. We've kind of been touching on it throughout this episode, but there are 8 days left until the U.S. presidential election, and already more people have voted this year than did during all pre-election voting in 2016. So already 58.7 million ballots have been cast between mail and early votes. That is as of this morning, Monday morning. 80 million Americans had requested absentee ballots, and Biden maintains his fundraising edge over Donald Trump, including in critical swing states, because he hired a grifter who stole all his money. Trump.
It's really the numbers that we're seeing are really amazing. It's going to be an unprecedented record-breaking election in terms of voter turnout and ballots being counted.
It's really crazy. Even the Texas numbers are like giving me, I don't even want to talk about it because.
Well, and they have, so they have like a lot of like results of like who's voting too, who's voting early, and it's young people, it's Democrats,
it's also old independents,
and it's old, it's everyone. It's like the coalition is like so broad. Well, I was thinking of like all everyone since the past 4 years, and especially since 2018, like if you look at Stacey Abrams in Georgia and Beto O'Rourke in Texas. This is all they've been doing for the past years, like is trying to register voters and get them out to vote. People are doing it. And it's really amazing. It's really amazing seeing the numbers out of Texas and like Georgia.
It really is. Wild. It's like, it's actually very encouraging that people are so much more engaged, even if it's just because like they don't want to deal with this anymore. You know, hopefully it will start a habit for people.
Yeah. I mean, everyone who's listening, just think of how you felt the day after in 2016 and just do everything and anything you can to not feel that way. Please.
Oh, man.
For all of us, for the collective mental health of everyone.
Think about how we can get our lives back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I know.
That would be amazing. Yeah. All right. On that note, until the return of democracy... I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this has been the Betches Sup Podcast.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Amanda Duberman. Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to sup@betches.com.
Betches.